Welcome to the Bridging Success Podcast. I'm Bo Jenkins, founder and CEO of BridgeNet Technology Consultants, where we solve challenging technology issues for growing businesses. We are the leading customer-focused, community-involved expert technology consultants. Welcome to Bridging Success, the podcast where top B2B CEOs and executives share their insights, challenges, and game-changing strategies that drive innovation and business growth. I'm your host, Bo Jenkins, CEO and founder of BridgeNet Technology Consultants. Each episode, we spotlight visionary leaders shaping the future, diving into critical decisions, leadership philosophies, and breakthrough moments that have helped propel them to success. On this episode, I'm joined by James Mills. James is a seasoned business development leader with over a decade of experience driving growth, building strategic partnerships, and leading fundraising initiatives. James, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks to be here, man. I really appreciate you having me on.
Great. Looking forward to chatting. So just start off with a little introduction. Tell us about what's led you up to being the CEO of IronVest Financial Partners now.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I've been in the industry for over 10-ish years now, my entire background, and I know we don't necessarily need to get into it, but when I was working through college, I worked full-time doing sales, and then after I graduated, I wanted to go into something more fulfilling, and so I went into the nonprofit sector and worked at a homeless shelter, and it was a phenomenal experience. I loved being able to give back to the community. Hard part is it was the domestic peace corps, so I was contracted to have a poverty wage for the year I was there. And so that was a challenge. When the contract ended, I went to be a licensed banker at PNC, went from PNC to Western and Southern as a wholesaler, and then went to Nationwide as a wholesaler as well. After that, I went and started working at a brokerage general agency. And then I just decided, hey, instead of doing it for someone else, I would do it on my own. And so for those who aren't in the industry, what a wholesaler is and what I was doing throughout that entire process is I would talk with financial professionals, let's say your insurance agent or your financial advisor you might be talking to, and I coached them how to sell financial stuff to you guys. And so much of it was, how do I differentiate myself? How do I provide value? And how do I help them scale their practice? Because the more business they were doing, the more successful I would be doing. And again, I did it for a long time. And I went to this company that after I was done working at Nationwide, I went to this company that didn't have as much experience in that distribution model. And so I decided, hey, let's go off and do this on my own because I was doing it for them. And why not build something so that you're not slaves to a different master? And so it was something that I was very excited to do. And as I'm sure any small business owner can attest to, it's a lot of sleepless nights, but that's also why you build efficient systems and scale using AI and so much of the stuff that we'll be talking about. So again, really excited for this conversation, man. I'm a fan of the podcast for sure.
Great. You touched on it briefly, but every entrepreneur that's journeying off on their own has that one pivotal moment. Can you point to what that one pivotal moment was in your career where you said, you know what? I'm tired of working for the man. I am the man.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that you're asking that, man, because again, I worked at Nationwide as a wholesaler talking to these financial professionals, and I did a lot of great stuff, and I'm not going to brag too much regarding it, but I scaled the business from $2 million all the way up to $100 million per year. And went from two clients up to 250 clients. And so I was really fortunate to get a lot of great business development experience from that. But the hardship was that they had some distribution changes where they completely cut my territory. I went from $100 million down to 30-ish million dollars of reoccurring revenue. And that was a challenge. I was like, all right, I could either continue to scale this thing or I can break off and work for a different company. And so I had a headhunter reach out to me from this BGA, this company similar to what I've started. And he promised the world to me. He was like, hey, this is a brand new company. You can still sell the same products to the same people that you're working with now. But now you're also going to be able to work with your competitors' products. And we're going to pay you more to do it and all this different stuff. And I was like, this is great. And so I went in to that company. And they're a very nice group of guys. I really appreciate all the work they've done. But the hard part was I was building it from scratch because it was an industry that they weren't familiar with. They didn't have a distribution model really before I came on. It got to the point where I was telling them how to coach me. I was like, all right, for the other guys, let's say 30 phone calls a week and get two new clients. And like I was building a report card even and on how they should coach me. And it was stuff like that where it's, all right, I got to build out all of your competitive advantages and I got to do this and I got to do that. And it was eye-opening. I really appreciated the experience because that was something that like I didn't think I had the acumen to do, is build out. Like I know I can sell and I know business development. I didn't know more of the processes behind the scenes of how to do everything, or at least I didn't think I was comfortable with it. And so when I started to realize this is everything that I would be needing to do if I went off on my own, that was a pivotal moment of like, all right, why would I build for someone else when I could just as easily implement everything that I'm talking about in my own practice, build my own business for it. And we haven't been in business long, IronVest. It's less than a couple months, but it's something that, because of the relationships I have and the scalability of the business and a lot of the leverage that I was able to bring over from my prior experiences, we already have a ton of early momentum. So it's something that I'm really, as to your point, I'm really excited for it. But there's always that hesitation of, am I able to do this? Yet the cool thing is that you go back and I live and die by a business plan. And again, I coach people how to do their own business plans so much when these conversations with financial professionals. And so it's viable and it's there. It's just having the audacity to take that step and do it.
Tell me, I bet you could write a book on working below the poverty level out of college for a year, but how has your philosophy or approach to financial advice changed from that job through the different roles that you've had span your career to now leading IronVest?
That's a great question. So I came from a I didn't come from a very financially strong background growing up. My parents had five kids and they supported us on one salary, my dad, and he actually worked most nights too at a second job. And so there's times I remember that our lights got turned off. And what was interesting is I have my hands in many different pots. I do the financial side. I run a nonprofit with my sister. I do construction on the side. I run a construction company with my brother. And I also run a food truck and I'm writing a book, to your point. So I have my hands in many different things. And what I can really attest to is that there's always been this level of work ethic that has came from that. And what was interesting is I had to be motivated early on in life because at 10 years old, I was going on job sites with my dad for construction. And then when I was going through college, I got my card declined for ramen noodles, which is a real story. And I was working full time. My roommate skipped out on me. And so there were some nights I went to bed for dinner and this is crazy. And I went from that to starting as a licensed banker, coaching people how to budget. And that was even after my time at the homeless shelter, where I'm coaching people job readiness skills and how to find an apartment, how to budget, and how to do financial literacy. And ultimately, I think that's what led me into finance was knowing. I was talking to someone who was homeless, and she said, in terms of her credit card, she's, I didn't realize that I shouldn't spend more than I make. And that was eye-opening to me because I was like, I thought that was okay. I thought that was 101. And she's like, no, I was like, why do you think that? She's because I was never taught that a credit card was going to come due at some point. I thought you just make the minimum payments and it's forever. You'll be fine. And I'm like, no, that's not how these things work. And so I had to build a budget for her and I had to build, how do you pay that back? How do you establish credit? How do you do this and that? And there was so much impact that was brought through that conversation. And I've taken that from this job, or from that job to licensed banking to coaching financial professionals, all the way up to now, where I'm still doing that. And I'm also doing advisory on my own, where I'm telling people how to invest and helping them with that. And it's something that, like, to come full circle, You have to put in the work, and that's ultimately what I've learned. You have to try to make your own success. You're the only one who can. But on the flip side is there's a million resources out there like me and like financial professionals that can coach you through that process, and that so much of it is coming from a place of like generational wealth, is the fact that she wasn't taught that you can't use a credit card. Like that you have to, if you swipe your card, you should probably have stuff behind that. And so much of generational wealth, like my kids are going to grow up in a little more savvy of a life because they're going to know, hey, I can't spend on this, or I should know how to budget, or they're going to sit down with me and just understand, here's how banking works, and here's how you kind of budget, and how there's a lot of things in this life that like come from the generation that raised us. And so it's our jobs to hand down a better lifestyle for our kids. And to that extent, I think there's this book, and I'm long-winded naturally. So again, I'm hopefully expect that for the other questions too. But there's this book called Moral Ambition, and it talks about leveraging your success for the benefit of others. And I've always been in the mentality of don't look at other people's plates, because so much of life we're trying to keep up with the Joneses and we're trying to compare ourselves to others. We shouldn't do that. The only reason we should look at another person's plate is not to see what they're eating, but to just make sure that they are eating, in my opinion, right? I don't want anyone to go hungry. And so what my intent is, and this kind of again pulls in the work ethic aspect, but also the financial literacy aspect of it all, is we use our success for the benefit of others, including our family, including our community. And I think there's a huge testament to that. And how you get to that success level is up to you, and how you want to scale your business and different stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I coach so much that it's about just keep moving forward. Like one of the things, and this is the last main part to this answer, is that so many people feel like it's a daunting task to save, or it's a daunting task to invest, or it's a daunting task to build a business. You know, and my answer to that is it's just one step forward. As long as you keep making steps forward, you're going to be successful. Even if you take, if it's two steps forward and one step back, that's still one step forward at the end of the day. Everything compounds on itself. And even in investing, one thing I coach towards, and this is just great investment advice anyway, is, are you familiar with the S&P?
Yes.
Hopefully most people are. Surprisingly, there's a lot of people aren't. I'm like, wow, I thought that was the benchmark for the economy. But so if I took $1,000 a month and I put it away in a savings account or anything like that from 2000 to 2024, $1,000 a month, that's $12,000 a year, $276,000 is what's invested over that 24 years. If I put that into treasuries, which is just cash at that point, that would be 380, roughly $380,000 over the 24-year mark. If I took that money and I just spent it directly into the S&P, I just invested directly in the S&P, and I timed the market perfectly, that 276 is now worth $1.4 million. But the more fascinating statistic, and this gets to the heart of the compound stuff that I'm talking about, the more fascinating statistic is that if you were timing the market terribly, you took that $1,000 a month, put it in the market, and you tanked constantly, you did everything wrong, right? You go to the casino, you put in $20, and by 5 minutes in, you're already out the money. So now you're just sitting at the bar waiting on your wife to be done. That's usually how my luck goes. Right? I am terrible with my luck. And if you had that kind of luck in this kind of conversation, that 276 is still worth $980,000. And so the point I want to make, and this is true in almost everything in life, is it doesn't matter how much you're putting away. It matters the timing. With investments, it's time in the market versus timing the market. The longer you're in it, the more likely you're going to become a millionaire over 20 years. But the flip side is true too in business, and the flip side's true in personal life, right? It's the more time you spend honing a skill, or the more time you spend just doing something, the better you're going to become, and the more likely you are to be able to break some of those generational curses that we're talking about. Now, that's my long-winded way of saying that it's a multifaceted answer, but again, time and do it for the benefit of others and just continue to hone your skills. So.
One of these plaques behind me is from a leadership course that I went through. And the biggest takeaway from the leadership, that was like a 9 month, once a month type leadership retreat where you spend a day every month with other leaders, that your community is only as good as you make it. So you pour yourself into your community and make it better. And if everybody collectively does that, think about how good your community can be.
Yeah, exactly. It compounds on each other. You're empowering others. And I think you'd agree, even from that leadership course, that's what leadership's about. It's just breeding more leaders and work yourself out of the job. And there's a saying about that, that leaders will always find a new job either way. And so it's, I love that because so much of that goes into the heart of leadership anyway.
So let's talk tech. All of the times that I switch this conversation over to tech, it's rightfully it jumps to AI. So tell me what y'all are doing at IronVest with AI briefly, and then I've got a few more questions for you about some of the stuff I saw on the website. So.
I'll keep it brief. That's the hard part, of course. No, man, AI, I think you have to adapt or die, right? That's the key for most industries nowadays. And a couple things that we're doing, I built an AI playbook for people, and it works actually in multiple capacities of, hey, here's for salespeople, but also here's for financial professionals in general. But a lot of what I'm doing outside of some of the services that we're offering through AI is helping people adopt like ChatGPT or Reggie AI or some of these AI technologies for their email and the marketing and kind of the scalability of it all. And it's stuff I implement myself, but so much of coaching in business and me coaching financial professionals is how do you run your own practice and market yourself? So a lot of it's conversational regarding that and walking them through it. But actively, like in terms of competitive advantages we're doing in the financial industry, is there's a couple companies called One's Vanilla. What Vanilla does is they use AI to develop POA, like powers of attorney, healthcare directives, estate plans, wills. And that's something that financial advisors can really easily have in their back pockets when they're having conversations with their clients. And that's something we can offer through us. Income Lab is another one. And this is more particular to the financial industry, but it can really model out and say, hey, here's what this client's assets are. Here's what everything they have. And it can make recommendations based on the tax situation and based on what they should be investing in and stuff. And it's a phenomenal tool. And we give instances of that to our clients and financial professionals as well. And then the last thing is a tool called Water Lily. And what Water Lily does is they can Matt, you send a quiz. If I sent you a quiz right now, it might take you 5 minutes to fill out, and then it'll ask you stuff like, hey, where's your zip code? How much did you make? Tell us a little bit about your parents. Do you smoke? Some of those questions. And really, what it'll do is it'll forecast, hey, Bo, by the time you're 82, you might need long-term care, and here's how much this is going to cost. And then from that standpoint, as a financial professional, I can say, all right, here's a couple different solutions that might solve that need. And so it really engrosses itself in like the holistic planning when it comes to being an investment professional. But the flip side is, again, so much of my industry is how do I help you guys prospect and build your businesses, and how do I do it on my own? And so a lot of what I do is coaching around how you can implement AI to grow your practices, and that's how I've been leveraging it. So it's been super helpful.
What tools, what sources do you use to stay on top of new releases like Water Lily or Vanilla? Where are you looking for the next gadget that can help separate you from the competition?
Honestly, the hard part is everything's growing at such a rapid pace that it's hard to keep track. I follow a lot of the tech boards and stuff, and I don't have one off the top of my head that I can pinpoint to. But the other two things that I do is I go to a lot of trade shows and conferences. And so I'm seeing them there, and I schedule time for demos just based on however the conversation's going and if I see a need. But then the flip side is I'm using AI to actually look up and see which, and like I might go in a couple times a month and just be like, hey, are there other AI tools that I can be implementing that would really benefit my practice? And ChatGPT will come out and be like, hey, you should look at XYZ company. And so I'll schedule a demo, and some of them are crap, but some of them are not. So
I'll give you a newsletter that I really like. It's called The Neuron. I think it's the Neuron or Neuron.ai. It might be Neuron.io. Never can keep those straight now that they're both ubiquitous. But if you search The Neuron, it'll come up. I love that list of those.
I'll have to
Let's
check it
see.
out.
Yeah, go check that out. You mentioned on your website that you were building a custom CRM. Tell me about what your thoughts are behind that and how it's going to help set you apart.
Yeah, no, the CRM, so many CRMs in the financial industry are isolated when it comes to like your clients' investments and their overall plan and different stuff like that. And so we're really integrating a lot of the planning software that I just mentioned into that CRM system. And that is going to be something that there's not many competitors out there that are doing that. So that'll differentiate us 100%. And the flip side is also is giving us lead generation for our advisors, where it's got, we have partnerships with a couple different companies that we can leverage as lead sources for the advisors that we're working with. So if they want to find more clients themselves, we have an app. The CRM's going to also be able to drill that into them as well, where I can say, hey, Bo, here's 200 names that you can call on over the next couple of weeks, right? From qualified leads that should generate more revenue for you. And so there's a lot of cool subscriptions and partnerships that we've been developing that we're hoping is going to help us land a huge impact. And again, it's been amazing, but having all these conversations and building all these partnerships to fully scale the business, it's a lot. And so I don't think I could do this without AI. So again, I'm glad that was touched on in our conversation.
Really quick before we wrap things up, can you bring to mind a transformational story that maybe inspire the audience that share a before and after client interaction before they came to you, kind of like you did with the lady with the credit card. If you had her after, she was a client today and she's now a millionaire, wouldn't that be awesome? But
Oh, that'd be
anything like that, don't jump to mind a before and after client story that can highlight some of the things that you teach people.
yeah, I had a so again, my main demographic that I talk to, and I do some financial advising. Like I said, that's 20% of my time with the client, like the lady I just mentioned. But my main demographic is financial professionals themselves. And so I was talking with someone who was brand new to the industry. I think he was a teacher beforehand. He went from being a teacher, he wanted to be a financial advisor. So what we ended up doing is he and I sat down and we were talking about, all right, how do you want to do this? What type of business, what type of niches do you want? What kind of brand do you want to build? And so we did a really big deep dive into like, all right, you want to solicit teachers because you were one and you have a warm network. Great idea. All right, how do you do that? And we talked about how he can find leads from that and how he can differentiate himself. And we built out an entire business plan. And any good business plan, and this is something I coach people towards and I live and die by, is you need to know who you're contacting and where you can find that information, why you're worth their time, how you plan to go to market. And that how to go to market includes like your emails and your phone calls that you're going to be doing, or seminars that you're putting on, or webinars, or however you LinkedIn, social media. And so we went in deep regarding that as well. And then the last question is, what are you going to face both internally and externally? What are you, it's SWOT analysis of what's your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats within the industry. And it's something that we set so much time aside to build this. I built his website even. Like it was through GoDaddy, so just as a quick heads up, but it was, we did so much work regarding this. And what's amazing is he went from having one or two clients that was his mom and grandma to now he's scaled over 30 to 40 clients, and he's doing roughly, I think, $1 million of revenue per year because of some of the conversations that we had, and he's only in year three of his practice. And so it's something that, again, it goes back to the fact of if you do the right stuff with the right people, the right activity with the right people, you have the right business plan, and you're doing it as much as you can. And it's something that results will happen, and it doesn't, it's not just an activity thing, and it's not just a conversational thing. Sales and entrepreneurship and business is one part personality and two part strategy. And so as long as you just stick with that, and again, the timing of it all, the time effect of it all, of just sticking with it and eating ramen noodles if you can, even if your card gets declined in my case, you'll find success from it. And that's something that, again, I just pray to God nobody else ever has to worry about their car being declined for ramen. So
Another key takeaway there is that you got to learn from your mistakes. You can't let them get you down, right? You gotta, it's only a mistake if we don't learn from it. It's only going to hurt us if we don't learn and move forward. So for the listeners that are inspired by your journey, that appreciate what you've done, what's one key takeaway or piece of advice that you'd like to share with them before we wrap things up?
you just hit the nail on the head, right? It's like learning is mistakes are always a learning opportunity. And as long and so much of this life is going to be dependent on how you want to view it and the perspective that you take on it. And so if you want success, if you want to build something, or even if you're just going through life and you're like, hey, I just want to be happier. Again, so much of this life is how you want to view things and manifest it into your life, and it'll become. The universe will revert it. I can't talk, reverberate it back to you. That would have sounded so much more poignant if I didn't stumble on the words.
All right, that's all right. James, if listeners want to reach out to you, find out more, how do they get in touch with James? What's the best way for them to get in touch with Iron Vest Financial?
IronVestFinancial.com. You can also look me up on LinkedIn, James Mills, MBA, CRPC. I also have a book coming out here either in September or October, depending on my publisher. It'll be Real Growth for Financial Advisors, Modern Practices for Modern Growth. And yeah, no, again, I just really appreciate you having me on today to talk about some of this stuff.
Enjoyed the conversation. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
This is Bo. Thank you so much for listening to the Bridging Success Podcast. If you are a successful business owner who would like to be on this program, please visit podcast.bridgenetllc.com to sign up. If something in this episode connected with you, would you mind sharing it on social media? Just take a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or share it on your favorite social media platform. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media with the hashtag #BridgingSuccess and let them know about the show. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, your ratings, and reviews, they go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to our website, bridgenetllc.com, or follow me on LinkedIn. Find me on Facebook at /BJakins or on Instagram at BoJakins. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.